It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. A recent piece in The Economist magazine seemed to go against the national and international media tide when it bore the headline, "Politics in Arizona, Saner Than It Looks." Is it possibly true, or has Arizona earned its reputation? Who can forget the attention the state received with SB 1062 earlier this year? With me to talk about whether sanity and Arizona politics can possibly go together or not are Julie Earfley, a political blogger. You can follow her on Twitter at Earfley Uncuffed. Also, Matthew Benson, former communications director for Governor Jan Brewer, and now with the consulting firm Veritas LLC. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Now, Julie, there's a lot more to this than just the headline, but when you think about Arizona politics and sanity, can they link?
They should link soon. I think they haven't linked. You know, obviously, the last several election cycles have been kind of a puzzle. You know, and I think that there's been a lot of studies to show that really our electorate is not happy with what's going on with our legislature, and it's really not reflective of the electorate. And I think you see that in several ways, one being the initiative process. If you look at what's going on with initiatives and what the voters are passing, it seems very counterintuitive to what the legislature is doing, even with the recall. You know, the recent referendum that we had that passed, 2305, showed, I think, overwhelmingly that the electorate was not happy with what the legislature was doing.
Matt, let's talk about that a little bit. Legislature gets most of the negative attention. Is that fair to decide whether Arizona is sane or not based on what the legislature does?
Well, I don't think it's unusual. You know, this is something that we see in other states and, frankly, of Congress overall, the idea that the body is unpopular, but people tend to like their representative, right? So they don't like the legislature, but my guy, he's okay. And so we see that phenomenon play out all over the country. It happens here in Arizona. But what's interesting about this state is, you know, it's a Western state. It's independent-minded. It has a strong libertarian streak. It has always kind of confounded the national experts. How can you have the same state that overwhelmingly reelects Governor Napolitano in the same election sends John Kyle, a strong conservative, back to office? So we see examples of that every single cycle here.
Julie, I'm wondering if you think, based on the reputation Arizona has had, whether fair or not, whether it's in-state or out-of-state, should it change or does it change how business gets done at the state capitol? We've seen Governor Brewer veto some bills that perhaps some people were surprised she vetoed.
I think she vetoed them because of public pressure, and I think that that's where the electorate can have a lot more power than they think they have. You know, definitely there's been a lot of talk lately, a lot of articles about how the primary system in Arizona brings in a lot more I guess, extreme, for lack of a better word, legislators and candidates, because, of course, you have these districts that are highly red or highly blue. And so you're going to, you know, generally have just those candidates who come, you know, from those districts. If you look at the districts, for instance, where there's competition, where it's more of a swing district, and we have quite a few of those, you know, on the congressional side now, we have our most moderate candidates. But even in the legislature, if you look at, for instance, the Republicans who have sided on, you know, Governor Brewer's behalf with Medicaid expansion and who also have held up some, you know, really horrible legislation, such as the expansion of school vouchers, they've done so. It's been those Republicans who are in more competitive districts. And so I think there's a huge case to be made for more competitive districts.
Matt, thoughts on that?
Well, there's no question that competitive districts make for more moderate legislators, or at least legislators who are more willing to hear both sides and kind of hew toward the center. The interesting dynamic I think we're seeing in this state is there's this idea that as the number of independent voters grows, and I am an independent registered voter, as that grows, you're going to see those independents flex their muscle and bring more moderation to the legislature and other elected offices. I actually think the opposite is happening. I think as more and more party members, Republicans and Democrats, bow out of that system, go independent, and for whatever reason stop participating in the primary elections, I think it's making the two dominant parties more extreme, And it's the snowball effect. I really worry about what this means for the state if this trend continues for the next 5-10 years.
Yeah, Julie, what about the power of independents?
They're an incredibly powerful bloc. They just have not utilized their power whatsoever. Matthew's correct. You know, when you have less than 10% showing up in primary elections, that's a huge concern. I mean, they've essentially given up their vote. And I think part of the issue is that, it's a little bit more difficult for an independent to vote in a primary. They have to go through the effort of requesting a ballot from a particular party. And if you're not... And of course, it happens in the summer, you know, when a lot of people are getting back from vacation and they may miss the deadline. You really have to be very, very committed to the process in order to vote in the primary if you're an independent. And I think that that is definitely a concern, and where, you know, if you're going to be making changes to that system, that would be where I would look.
And since we're focusing a little bit more on statewide as opposed to congressional races, one of the things that I wonder about is this idea, Matt, let me start with you on this, regardless of whether the congressional delegation at this point has majority Democrats, statewide Republicans certainly dominate offices here in Arizona. Does that affect how things get done, the fact that there's this tradition of one party dominating, and could that affect whether independents actually end up having an impact?
Well, it certainly could. I mean, right now, in the last election, you had Republicans sweep the statewide offices. And so, you know, you sometimes get that effect of people who say, well, why bother? My vote doesn't count. It's going to be just whoever has the R after their name gets elected. And so then that kind of feeds upon itself. I think that this election is going to be really interesting because you have a couple Democrats in races for Attorney General and Secretary of State, for example, who are particularly dynamic, have large name recognition. In some cases, the Republican candidate, like Tom Horn, has some baggage. So there are some opportunities there for Democrats to pick up seats they traditionally do not in this state. And if they're not able to capitalize on that, I don't know what that says for the party going forward.
Julie?
Well, I'd have to add Democrat David Garcia to that mix.
For whom you're working, yes.
For whom I'm working. I agree that there are some really dynamic Democrats for this statewide race. And 2010 was really an anomaly in a lot of respects. Democrats didn't show up to the polls, by and large. Independents didn't show up. People were just angry. And I think that, you know, this is a much different election. And I think that, you know, we would be a little unwise to judge this election based upon what happened in 2010. I do think that it's going to be a much different election. But I think that Matt is correct, that if Democrats don't make it happen, then it's a really hard thing for the party to come back from.
Only have a minute or so left. Julie, what are your thoughts about the possibility of the growing Latino vote? Is that actually going to show itself in 2014?
I believe it will. I mean, I think that they're very excited. Again, I'm sorry, but I have to go back to David being, you know, possibly the first statewide Latino elected in decades. That is definitely going to generate the base, and I think that that's good for Democrats. And they are showing up in greater numbers. I think that we've sort of negated their efforts and what's going on with them, but they really are starting to show up, and I think it will just continue to grow and grow. And I do believe that this election cycle we're going to see a lot more.
Matt, final thoughts on that, please.
You know, I'm someone who's going to be a little bit more skeptical. You're going to have to show it to me first, because I've been hearing about this great wave of voters for a number of cycles now. It hasn't shown up yet. You're seeing it in some individual districts, some individual city council races with Pastor and others, where the mobilization efforts, the ballot collection and whatnot has proved effective. Can you do it statewide? Can you do it across hundreds of thousands of voters in a large geographic area? I've yet to be convinced, but, you know, we'll see.
Matthew Benson of the consulting firm Veritas LLC and Julie Earfley, a political blogger. Follow her on Twitter @EarfleyUncuffed. Thank you both for the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.